We're talking now with John Komasa from the DNR, who oversees operations at fish hatcheries here in the state of Wisconsin. And John, thanks for joining us here.
No problem. Happy to do it.
I guess let's talk a little bit about how fish hatcheries work. I know people know that there are fish hatcheries in the state, may have even driven past them at times, but maybe don't know how it all works. How does the process start and proceed from there?
Well, it kind of depends on the program we're talking about. We raise a lot of different fish species across the state at our various fish hatcheries. We've got cool water species, which would include species like walleyes, northern pike, and muskies. And then we've got what we call cold water hatcheries as well. And those hatcheries primarily raise trout and salmon. And some of the trout are stocked inland, and a lot of our fish, trout and salmon, are stocked into Lake Michigan. So those are the two different types. And, we engage in both of those operations on a yearly basis to provide fish for the state of Wisconsin.
Now, when you're talking about the big fish, when you're talking about salmon and the trout for the big lakes, how do you go about getting started with that, collecting the eggs and then moving them from the lake or the rivers where you get them and moving them to the hatcheries to be used?
Right. Yes. The broodstock, as we would call them, those are the adult fish that we gather the eggs from. We rely on those fish and their internal instincts where we capture them as they're migrating upstream. Primarily the salmon, the Chinook salmon and the coho salmon migrate and spawn in the fall of the year, and we'll capture those at any of our three egg collection facilities, one in the Root River in Racine, one is at on the Kewaunee River called the Buzz Bazadney Anadromous Fisheries Facility, and then there's one in Door County on Strawberry Creek. So we rely on the fish's instinct to swim upstream. We capture those fish in the facility. Then we have staff on site there that spawn the fish, remove the eggs, and fertilize them with the males. And then the hatchery crews take those fertilized eggs back to the hatchery where they'll incubate for some time and then hatch them and start raising the fish. And they'll be stocked back into the lake sometimes as early as a few months. The Chinook salmon are stocked in the following spring, generally in May, when they're about 3 inches long. But species like coho and steelhead are raised for a year or plus, where they're stocked out as yearlings back into the tributary streams feeding into Lake Michigan.
And one of those hatcheries is here in central Wisconsin in Wild Rose.
Correct. Yep, that's our mega hatchery. They do both. When I alluded to earlier, the difference between cold water and cool water, that station is equipped to do both. So they've got a number of ponds that they raise walleyes, muskies, and pike in during the warmer months. And this time of the year, they're primarily loaded with the cold water species. They've got cohos on board ready to be stocked out springtime, and they're currently raising seafarel and brown trout, a wild rose brown trout, and Chinook salmon, again, all destined for Lake Michigan.
When we talk about the big lakes, we've heard a couple of threats to the big lakes in the recent years. One is the water level, and the other is the invasive Asian carp. I think invasive has become the first name of that fish because it seems like you hear it all the time. I guess talk about those issues a little bit from your perspective and what that means for the health of the fish populations of the big lakes.
Right, right. It's always issues like that can complicate the natural balance of any of those systems. So far, we haven't really felt a lot of effects from declining water levels. We did have a situation, not in 2013, but in 2012, with some low water feeding into our Strawberry Creek facility, where we needed to kind of open up an area right at the creek area there where the fish enter in, just to allow access for the fish. So that was something that we felt as an effect with the low water. Otherwise, that seems like it hasn't been a factor. And knock on wood, so far we haven't seen any negative impacts from the Asian carp. One thought is that they may not take to Lake Michigan and naturally reproduce because Lake Michigan is larger and colder. And the way I understand it, the fish's natural requirements for them to spawn requires a tributary river that has warmer water and a much larger run. A lot of our tributary rivers that feed into the lake are much shorter distance, maybe a few miles, 6 to 10 miles, something like that. And I think they require a longer run of river to reproduce naturally. So we're definitely keeping an eye on these things, but right now we just got to roll with it and do the best we can.
What about the freshwater fishing in the state of Wisconsin, the health of our fisheries, our lakes and rivers, pretty good at this point in time?
Absolutely, yeah. It depends what you like to do. We've got obviously a number of natural lakes with great panfish populations, very popular in the state, and we don't do a whole lot as far as the hatchery system is concerned for panfish, but our rules and regulations definitely benefit and try to keep those populations in check. And of course, everybody's favorite, the walleye. We're doing a lot of efforts now to raise what we call large fingerling walleye and raise larger numbers of those fish into the future. So that'll be a great thing for the state. And of course, you've got areas like Green Bay, Lake Winnebago, Lake Michigan, that are just really a true destination fishery, just awesome fisheries for the state of Wisconsin.
That's John Komasa from the DNR overseeing the fish hatcheries, some of them here in the state of Wisconsin, talking about the fish population and the situation with that here in the state of Wisconsin on WSAU.